That's what most sports fishermen enjoy, is the hook and line type. Matter of fact, he told Peter one day, he said, Peter asked him, said, Jesus, what are we going to do about this temple tax? And he said, well, I want you to go down to the riverbank, and I want you to throw your hook and line in and catch a fish. And the first fish you bring up, look in his mouth, and you're going to find a coin, and pay your temple tax for that coin. And so that's what Peter did. He threw his line in, and sure enough, he brought in a big fish and looked in the mouth, and there was a coin in that fish's mouth. A second way that they used to fish in those days was a casting net. Have you ever seen anybody cast net? Several years ago, we were in Hawaii, and we were watching a fella cast. I guess the net was probably about 8 feet in diameter. And on the edges were weights. And so he would take it, he was looking at the waves, and he could actually see the fish in the waves. I never could see them. He said, there they are. And we watched him probably about, I don't know, maybe an hour. And he was casting his net out, and he'd pull it in, and what would happen? He had a line on it. And when he threw it in, the weights would sink to the bottom and kind of encircle the fish like that. And we'd pull the line, it kind of captured them, and he would pull them out, and he would sort through them. They were real tiny fish. They probably weren't over 5 inches long. But that's what he would eat every evening. He would catch his fish. And there was no limit. He'd catch his fish and eat. And the third way that they fished in those days was called a dragnet. And the dragnet has floats on top and anchors on the bottom, so that the net on bottom would, of course, touch the bottom. And those nets were up to half a mile long. Sometimes it would take more than one boat to use this dragnet. The closest I ever got to using a dragnet was when I was in Mississippi. And actually, we called it a seine. So I don't know if you know what a trot line is or not. But a trot line, you know, I can't do that here, but in Mississippi, you could get like a 50-foot line or 75-foot line and take it to the middle of the river and drop it with an anchor on one end. It anchored on the bank. And about every 2 feet, there was a line with a hook on it. Line with a hook on it. And so you would go and you'd bait this hook. And one of the baits we used was minnows. We call them minners. So we would go out and seine for minnows. And somebody on the bank would have their pole, and somebody would get in the deep end and have their pole, and they would kind of make a circle and come around. And most often, not always, but most often, if you find minnows, you're going to find water moccasins. And so most often you would seine up a water moccasin at the same time, which are very poisonous snakes. I'd never like to be in the deep end. I always wanted to be on the shallow end for some reason. But, of course, we would seine the minnows and bring them up on the bank and kill whatever snakes were in there, and then we would take our minnows and bait the trot line. I guess that's another line and hook method. But Jesus was talking about, in this parable that we're going to be reading, he's talking about this dragnet. And so if you would, look at Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 through 52. And we're going to be talking about the separation and judgment. And Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but they threw the bad away. Now, probably, as he's telling this story, these guys are watching people out on the lake fishing, dragnet, pulling the fish in. And possibly there were people already on shore that were sorting the fish. And so there was a visual going on when Jesus was telling this story. And so he goes on to say, so it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous. Throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then he says, have you understood all these things? And they said to him, yes. Jesus is really wanting them to understand what he's getting at. Okay? And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out his treasure, out of his treasure what is new and what is old. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And Larry, would you pray for me this morning? Amen. Thank you, Larry. So the reason for this story or this parable is Jesus wanted his disciples to know what heaven is like or what the end times will be like. So this is a bit of what the end times will be like. As a matter of fact, the world as we know it. Did you know that the world is going to come to an end as we know it? And it's not going to be because of cows. Or log trucks. It's going to be because Scripture says that God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. There was a time when the earth was destroyed by water. He says the next time it's destroyed, it's going to be by fire. And so there's going to be an end of all things as we know it. But what he tells us in this passage of Scripture, that there's going to be a gathering together, a separation, and then a judgment. So, we're going to find out, we're going to talk about those three things, but also because of the coming judgment, we as children of the Lord have a responsibility to those who don't know Jesus yet. That's what he's talking about in this passage of Scripture. So let's talk about the gathering. Scripture says that everyone will be gathered. All over the earth, people will be gathered. But it's not just those who are alive, but it's those who have passed away as well. Those who have been buried for thousands of years. Look, if you would, at Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. And what we find here is that everyone from the time of Adam and Eve till this present time and the future will be gathered together. It's like a big draw net, and everybody is drawn together. Not one person is going to be left out. Okay? So look at Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. So this is John on the Isle of Patmos. He's in a vision. The Lord has given him a vision, and he is watching things occur as it's going to be. And he says, and I saw a great white throne, and the one sitting on it, the earth and sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. And the books were opened, including the book of life, and the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead. Death and the grave gave up their dead. And all were judged according to their deeds. Okay? So everyone who's ever lived is going to be caught up in this great gathering. It's not going to be so much a family reunion as it is just a billions and billions and billions of people standing before the throne of God. There's going to be a gathering, And Scripture tells us that in this gathering that the angels are going to separate the bad from the good. Separating the bad from the good, just like the fishermen are separating the bad from the good. Do you think that a fish knows whether it's good or bad? Probably not. Probably not. Most of them think they're probably good fish. We talked about tares last week and weeds and wheat. Do you think a weed knows he's a weed? Probably not. He probably thinks he's a good fruit. Well, a lot of people who are brought to this gathering are going to think, I'm okay. They're going to think, I'm in. But we're going to find out that we don't get to make that determination. Well, we kind of do. But Jesus is the one who makes that determination. So there's a separation. In Matthew 13, 48 through 49, we see it again. When it was full, talking about the dragnet, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers. They threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come and separate the evil from the righteous. Listen to this. There's going to come a day when there's not going to be any more evil on earth. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I can't wait for that day. Jesus will rule in righteousness. And His rule will be the final say. We don't get to argue about it. We just say, yes, Lord. That's going to be a wonderful day when He rules. Jesus asked His followers, do you understand so far? So I'm asking you, do you understand so far? Okay. If you don't understand something, put it on your communication card. I am not the best presenter sometimes, so if you don't understand or misunderstand, please let me know and I'll see if I can straighten it out. It's going to be a day when everyone is gathered together. And for many, it will be a glorious, wonderful, marvelous, awesome day. But for others, it's not going to be a happy day. Scripture tells us that there's going to be a separation. And the separation will be determined by who is a follower of Christ and who is a follower of the devil. Okay, that's the separation. And did you know that there's no other, there's nothing else? There's no gray area. You either are follower of Christ or you're a follower of Satan. There's no in between. There's nothing else. And He's making a determination, if you are not a follower of Christ, then you are a follower of the devil. Okay? And well, that seems pretty harsh, doesn't it? It's going to be a day of separation. For those who know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, it's going to be a glorious day in many respects. But have you ever been separated from a loved one? How did that feel? Miserable. It's very possible on this great day of separation that in one aspect you are tremendously happy and feel so blessed in praising the Lord, but at the same time, you may see friends and family members who are not part of that. tried to imagine this day? You're going to be there. Okay? I'll be there. With billions of other people. And I've tried to imagine the separation. And what it's going to feel like to hear Jesus say, Philip Bradford Smith, I see your name is written in the book of life. Enter thou in to the joy of the Lord. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? There, and I don't know where you are in your relationship with the Lord. Let's just say all of you have that personal relationship with the Lord. And you're going to hear your name. He's going to read your name out of the book of life. And you're going to start praising the Lord, shouting, hollering. But at the same time, there are going to be angels who are taking those who are not in the book of life and separating them. There's going to be weeping. There's going to be screaming. Have you ever had a nightmare? This is going to be a nightmare that they never wake up from. They never wake up. And they know, because they have rejected Jesus, what is in store for them. So on one side, you've got people praising the Lord at the top of their lungs, singing songs, worshiping the Lord. And on the other side, you have people screaming, crying in horror because they know that the judgment has come. And it may be you're not going to be able to make out the two. But can you imagine billions of people, either praising the Lord or screaming? Praising the Lord or screaming? I was visiting a fellow the other day. He said, he brought it up. He said, I have religion. I said, oh, you do? I said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, I believe in God, and I've been baptized. I said, well, that's awesome. But then I asked him, do you know for sure that when you die, you're going to go to heaven? This is his response. He said, I don't think it's possible to know. And I've heard other people say that. I don't think it's possible to know. I think we'll just have to wait till we get there to find out. That's too late. Okay? That's too late. You might want to write this passage of Scripture down. I don't know if I have it here or later on anyway. This is a good time to insert it. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know that you have eternal life. Not that you may hope you have, but that you may know you have eternal life. It is my prayer for you that you know that you have eternal life through Jesus Christ. So let's imagine, if you will. We don't have to imagine very hard. But let's imagine, if you will, that we are in that great crowd. That has been gathered, standing before the throne. Can you hear their cries? Can you hear them pleading for mercy? It's going to be too late. Can you hear their screams as they are separated from those who have placed their faith in Jesus? Can you hear them? I want us to talk about the judgment a little bit. We looked at a little bit about earlier regarding the judgment, but I want to look a little more deeply at it for a few minutes. But I'm going to have to, I won't have time to go deep into it, but I'll have to get there next week. So, do you remember who Enoch was? He was the seventh generation from Adam. I don't know if you know it or not, but he was a preacher. This is one of the messages that he preached, and it's recorded in the book of Jude, verse 14. It said, "It was also about these that Enoch of the seventh from Adam prophesied, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of His holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way." He was a kind of a firestone, brim, firestone. That's the kind of preacher he was. "Of all the harsh things the ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Jesus says in Matthew 25, "But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit upon His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in His presence," the United States, England, Iran. "He will separate people as shepherd separates the sheep from his goats. He will place the sheep on his right hand and goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. And the king will turn to those on the left and say, Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for..." Who was it prepared for? The devil and his demons. It wasn't prepared for people. It was prepared for the devil and his demons. But anyone who rejects Christ is a devil follower, just as a demon is. Okay? That's what he's getting at. So I want you to notice that Jesus is the judge. This passage of Scripture, it says the Son of Man comes in His glory and He will do the judging. Also, we spoke about the separation earlier. I want us to look back at Revelation 20 again, at the vision of the Apostle John sees the gavel descends, the word of condemnation is spoken. John said, "I saw a great white throne and the one sitting on it. The earth and sky fled from His presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both small and great, great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead, and all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire, and this lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire." So those who are not good enough, the tares, the fish, the goats, the people, evil ones, cast into the lake of fire that was prepared for the devil and his demons. Now, there's probably not a doctrine in Scripture that's harder to accept emotionally than this doctrine of the judgment. Because the truth is, God is love. That's the truth. And the truth is that God loves each individual that He has ever created. That's the truth. But God says, if you don't accept my Son, I can't accept you. That's basically the bottom line. If you can't accept my Son, I can't accept you. So, what is hell like? Very briefly, this is a place of eternal torment. This is a place of darkness, torment, and pain. The fire is never quenched, the worm never dies. A place of separation from God. This is a place of separation from love and kindness and anything good. This is a place where all who reject Christ will find themselves. God did not choose this for them. They chose death over life. They chose to follow the devil rather than God. So there's no middle ground. It's either Jesus and life or reject Jesus and eternal death. I just want to the next thing I want you to understand is that there's a harvest, not only at the end, but there's a harvest taking place daily. Roughly 150,000 people die every day around the world. About 7,500 die daily in the United States. Every 12 seconds in the United States, someone dies. Every second, two people die around the world. Since we've been sitting here an hour, 300 people have passed from this life and are now spending eternity somewhere. Every day a net is cast. Thousands are caught in the net. Every day, angels separate Christ's followers from all the others. Every day, Christ's followers go to heaven. Every day, those who have rejected Jesus go to hell. Every day, the net is cast. Every day, fish are taken. Every day, fish are separated. So what if the net were cast today? And you were caught in it. Where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? I mentioned earlier 1 John 5:13. I've written these things unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. Those who believe in the name of the Son of God. So I want to ask you, do you know? Do you know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If the Lord loaned me the Book of Life, and I had it sitting up here on the communion table, would you have to come by and see your name in it to know it's there? The Lord is very clear. We can know that we know that we know that we know that our names are written in the Book of Life. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are a child of God. And I remember those days when I didn't know. I remember wondering. I remember the doubt and the confusion in my heart. I remember those days. But all that cleared up when I gave my heart to Jesus. And He assured me of my eternal place in heaven. So what is our responsibility? In Matthew 13, 52, He said to them, "Therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old." He's talking to His disciples. And the scribes in those days were those individuals who were actually the... They would write word for word the Scripture. They didn't have typewriters. They didn't have computers. They didn't have printing presses. And so the scribes were the ones who would write Scripture. And they were the ones, when people had a question, they would go to these scribes. If they had a question regarding Scripture, those are the people that they would go to and say, "What does this mean?" And what Jesus is saying to us is that now you have been put in a position where you know the truth, and in your heart you have the truth within you, and you're able to bring out those treasures that people are looking for. And as we come into the world where people don't know Christ, it's our responsibility to share Christ with them. When I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and there's a separation, I don't want to see people I should have shared Christ with and didn't over there. We have a wonderful opportunity coming this Easter to bring people to church and hopefully bring them into the kingdom. I want to encourage you, if you have someone you can pray with, somebody you can pray for, and somebody you can invite, please bring them. Because we want everybody in our sphere of influence to come into the kingdom. On your communication card, on the back, it says, the second question is, "I know without a doubt I'll go to heaven when I die." The third one is, "I hope I will go to heaven when I die. Sure. Next one, I am unclear about what I need to do to become a child of God." If you check that, I'll get in touch with you. And if you check number three, "I hope I will go to heaven when I die," I'll get in touch with you. Then the last one, "I know someone who needs Jesus, and I will pray for them and invite them to the Easter production. And write their names down so that we can begin praying." And I don't know where you are in your relationship with the Lord this morning. But if you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, He's got His arms open wide. He's saying, "Come to me. Come to me. I love you. I want you to be a part of my family. Will you come?" Father, I come before you today. Lord, I thank you for your word. And Lord, it's not easy talking about some of these things. Lord, even if I've shared with other people, some say, "Well, I just don't believe." Lord, it doesn't really matter whether they believe or not in regards to what is truth. It matters a lot in regards to where they will spend eternity. Lord, I pray for those who may not even believe, that God, you would work in their heart and help them to understand the truths that you share in your word. God, they would leave sinful life, trust and follow you. Lord, even those who are here today who may not know you, Lord, I plead for their souls, before it's too late. ask these things in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. We're going to sing. If there's something on your heart you want me to pray with you about, I'll be here at the front. If you need to just talk to the Lord, you can come to the front and kneel here at the altar. Or if you need to have somebody to pray for you, reach across the aisle. Find someone who will pray for you and help you and encourage you during this time. Let's sing.